North Shore Today,
the area's only daily news podcast
on msonewsports.com.
This is North Shore Today for Friday, February 7, 2020. Taylor Ann Bradford's reporting in today's Gloucester Times that prior to hosting a Super Bowl party on Sunday, 59-year-old Abby Flynn of St. Louis Avenue in Gloucester went for a walk around 5 p.m. 5 days later, her whereabouts are still unknown. Police Chief Edward Connolly III is quoted as saying, "We are basically in stone-turning mode." Flynn's description was updated Thursday, as Connolly said that, based on the family's assessment, Flynn might have been wearing a navy blue L.L. Bean puffer jacket, L.L. Bean shoe boots, blue jeans, and possibly a flannel shirt, as opposed to the red jacket she was reported earlier to have on. Flynn is a white female, brown hair, about 5 feet 5 inches tall, and weighing about 200 pounds. Anyone with any information in regard to Flynn's whereabouts is asked to contact Gloucester Police at 978-283-1212. More on the story in today's Gloucester Times. Essex Sheriff Kevin Coppinger hosted the formal opening of the new medication-assisted treatment center at the Middleton House of Correction yesterday. The event was the culmination of progressive criminal justice reform and the implementation of providing comprehensive medication-assisted treatment services to incarcerated populations, according to the sheriff.
We're here to talk about addiction, and we've been talking about it as a society for years now. And this problem, I mean, addiction is nothing new to society, but in the most recent years, it's really escalated with the opioid epidemic, the number of overdoses that we have seen in our streets, and within our families. And I think we all know that addiction does not discriminate against anyone. Whether you're rich, poor, white, black, brown, or yellow, straight, gay, Protestant, Catholic, Jewish, whatever it is, it does not discriminate. And this whole epidemic has brought the idea of treatment and proper treatment to the limelight. No longer are addicts just hidden in the closet. I'm an Irish Catholic, and we're great at this. You keep all your problems inside, you never talk about them. So that whole culture was gone. Now it's in front of us. And the world of corrections has really come to a crossroads where, you know, corrections can be old school. It's law enforcement. It's the theory used to be lock them up and throw away the key. Now the new theory is, how do we make it better? When someone enters our jail, no pun intended, we have a captive audience. So what can we do with them while they're here, with the end goal, when we release them, they go back to the community, they don't come back here. You know, so whatever we have going on while they're here, whether it's programs, treatment, medication, we're here for the purpose of getting the individual back out of here. And when we see them leave, when we say goodbye to them, we say it tongue in cheek, please don't come back. We never want to see you again. Unless we see you within our community, you're reunited with family, back with your job, back in society as a productive member. So that's what we're doing. So go back a couple of years ago, those in the legislature and obviously the governor's office put together the criminal justice reform package that came out, started in 2018. Part of that was the pilot program, the medication-assisted treatment pilot program as part of the CARE Act. Seven counties in Massachusetts joined on this thing, and it was to bring in medication-assisted treatment into our jails. A lot of us, including here in Essex County, we're already doing Vivitrol, and now we're going to expand it, bring in methadone and buprenorphine, more commonly the Subutex category, into our jails. Now, keep in mind, jails, we've been trying to keep this stuff out for decades. Especially Suboxone. Suboxone, Subutex, same family, but that was the number one drug that was constantly being smuggled into our jails. And the correctional staff in this room will tell you that's what we've been trying to keep out. Now we're giving it to the inmates. Talk about a culture change. Talk about a paradigm shift. This is something that's really we had to sell to the correctional officers, actually sell it to ourselves. And Massachusetts, I got to tell you, has been leading the way in this process. There are a handful of correctional facilities across the country, not many, that were doing it, but I don't think none of them was doing it to the extent that Massachusetts is doing it now.
Essex Sheriff Kevin Coppinger. State House News Service is reporting that traveling on an MBTA train will get more challenging this year, but officials promise passengers it will all be worth it in the long run. All five main MBTA lines and parts of the commuter rail will now see shutdowns in 2020 in an expanded push to complete maintenance work more quickly. Most of the effects will be additional overnight or weekend closures, but in an unprecedented move, large chunks of the Green Line's C and E branches will each be taken offline for a full month. Governor Charlie Baker, Transportation Secretary Stephanie Pollack, and MBTA General Manager Steve Poftak said Thursday that the plan, which builds on a model launched last year, can complete track replacement and station improvements up to 8 years faster than with traditional methods. More on this story in today's Gloucester Times. John Castelluccio is writing in today's Salem News. A proposal to build a three-story apartment building on Pine Street next to the Rebecca Nurse Homestead in Danvers has generated enough criticism from neighbors and the town's zoning board to send the developers back to the drawing board. All seven members of the Zoning Board of Appeals told attorney Nancy McCann at a hearing last week that they could not support a building of that size with 29 apartments at 141 Pine Street. ZBA member Robert Signetti is quoted as saying, "What's there now is not attractive, but this is more detrimental. I don't mind a big building, but this is Noah's Ark." McCann, as it became clear, the project would not move forward as is, asked to continue the hearing to the board's next meeting on February 24. More on this story in today's Salem News. And the Cape Ann Beacon is reporting that Manchester by the Sea is holding a family fun day on Sunday, February 9, as part of its 375th birthday celebration. The event will be held from 1 to 4 p.m. at Legion Post Hall at 14 Church Street, Manchester by the Sea. Admission is free for all ages. There'll be a make-your-own Sunday ice cream parlor. Craft tables will be piled with Valentine decor for making personal cards. Big Smile Entertainment will be searching for faces to paint. Pleasant Street Music will be leading a family sing-along with live musicians from 1:30 to 2:30 p.m. and much more on this in the most recent edition of the Cape Ann Beacon. You can find it online at wickedlocal.com. That'll take care of this edition of North Shore Today. Have a great weekend. For Bill Newell, Bill Proposky, Tim Kearns, Marty Smith, I'm Rick Moore. This is MSONewsports.com.